Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me get some of this up a little bit so that you can hear it on the video. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come before thee. Speak through my mouth, Lord Jesus. We humble ourselves before thee. You are the Alpha, you are the Omega. You are the first, you are the last. The one that has the preeminence. Father, we are nothing before you. Without you, we are completely nonentity. So we pray, Lord Jesus, that you will help us in this race, the race that you have called us unto. Help us to stand the test and arrive at your feet to please you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. The message I have today has to do with trial of faith. Trial of faith. I have a book here that is on, I don't know if this is just one to show you. It's called Persecution is Coming. Persecution is Coming. And that is what I'm going to talk about today as the Lord put it upon my heart. It's called Trials of Faith. And the Bible says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God. You give me that in the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Let's start with that. And I will try to make it as short as possible, maybe 30 to 45 minutes. Believing God that he will give us a good exhortation. Revelation chapter 21, verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and shall be my son. So definitely we know we have to overcome. But how to overcome, I will talk about that in the last part of it, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. That is how we're going to overcome, by looking unto Jesus. And when you look at what the Bible said about the Lord Jesus Christ himself, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, the Lord Jesus Christ that we are going to look unto, this is what he also went through. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. So looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Think of that. He knew the joy that was set before him. Because of that, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The bigger the glory that you're going to get, the bigger your cross is going to be. That's how some singers put it. The bigger the glory, the bigger the cross is going to be. And the Lord actually told every one of us, this is a little bit loud, let me make it a little bit slower. Don't be too high. Please, thank you. The Lord make it clear to us that anyone that is going to follow him, what did he say? Carry your cross and follow me. So that is what I want to talk about today. And when we talk about the cross, we can see that it is planned for the end of times. That's really what I want to talk about. That's why I'm bringing it this time. The cross that we are carrying, let's take the story of Job in the Bible. The story of Job in the Bible, many of us were familiar with that story. Nobody wants to go through that kind of a thing. But it was a template. The story of Job was put in the Bible as a template of suffering for God. A template that anyone that is going to serve the living God, we have to be proved. Everyone, we have to be proved. The Bible said the Lord Jesus Christ endured the cross, setting his eye on that joy, and we are going to have to set our eye on that glory that is called us. And the Bible said these saints, the saints of God, that are going to inherit this world, they're going to inherit this kingdom, they are worthy. That is the word, worthy. Because he said, if we believe in him, we are to suffer with him. It is appointed to us that not just to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. And that suffering part is what I'm going to describe in a little nutshell. But don't look at the suffering, look at the glory that was set before you and me. That glory is the same thing the Lord Jesus Christ fixed his eye upon. Of course, the pain he had to grow through, it's not going to be easy on the flesh of any human being. So I tell the story of Job. You all know the story. That story was presented to us of a man that was doing all his best to please God, to serve God, to make sure that he didn't offend neither his children. But the Bible gave us that story as from the vantage point of heaven. From the vantage point of heaven. Because who was there when the devil went before the Lord to be asking for permission? So God was recreating this story. People thought maybe Joseph, maybe Moses wrote the story. But from the vantage point of heaven, that God was boasting of this man called Job. And I can tell you, at the same time, God is boasting of his saints. God is boasting of his saints. And that is when the devil will have to be unleashed to prove them. That's why I say the story of Job was a template of serious, and the Apostle Paul said it, serious trials of our faith, Nobody will be accepted, every believer. Now you can say, well, many people have passed on, they didn't really go through that type of trial. Every trial will be different, you have to remember that. There's a parable in the Bible, in the book of Isaiah, that said different instruments for different farm products. If you are going to do wheat, different instrument. If you are doing corn, different instrument. The same way, there will be different type of trial for different people. But everyone will carry the cross. Jesus Christ said it. If you are going to follow me, what did he say you should do? Carry your cross and follow me. And I described it in one of my sermons before. I said the cross. See, when he was telling the Jews, they knew what the cross meant. The cross to them was what the Romans used to execute criminals. The Roman Empire. So Jesus can use that to make them know that you're going to follow me, you're going to have to carry your cross and follow him. That is, it's a death sentence. That was how I presented the last time I preached on similar thing. It's like it's a death sentence. So that's what the cross meant. So you are going to have to decide whether you want this glory, the new kingdom that we are talking about, the glory land, the beautiful city, where we shall be appearing and disappearing in the end, where we shall be glowing like light, because Christ is glowing right now, he enters his glory. We are all going to enter there if you overcome. But there is some serious overcoming to be done. And that is why I'm presenting this today. It's a test of our faith. It's coming. Now, it's not something that is coming, it's already started. It's already started. And I'm going to bring you some Bible verses to make you to see that this is what was purposed from the book of Genesis chapter 3. Give me Genesis chapter 3 and we shall see what the Lord has to fulfill. Like I said, you have to fulfill all righteousness. This word of God has to be fulfilled. When God was talking after Adam and Eve fell, and God came was the talking and giving judgment against the Satan called the serpent, you will see that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. This is where God was talking to the serpent. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, who is the serpent? Satan. Not that animal. Satan was in that animal. Because thou hast done this, thou art caused above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thou shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Next verse, verse 15. Next verse, please. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, that the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That has to be fulfilled. Now, we are the body of Christ. Christ is the head, and we are the body. From head to toe is the Messiah, is Christ. So the church is Christ on earth. The Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven, ready to fight anything we decree on earth. But here is the church, the last part, which is at the end of the world. Thou shalt bruise his heel. And that is why the devil will be unleashed at the same time to prove the sins. Where it has been going on, it started in the days of the apostles. The God of Daniel that stopped the mouth of the lions. Now they started arresting the apostles in Rome. You have the story, you read the story, maybe you have heard about the story. Apostle Peter was killed in Rome, crucified upside down. The same God that when the believers were praying for Apostle Peter, an angel came and got him out of the place. So not that an angel cannot get him out of that same situation, you see, God said it's a time for everything. They laid down their life for him. They laid down their life for him to prove their faithfulness to the Lord. And that was what you see in the story of Job also. God said, okay, Satan go test him. He said, oh, you see why he was loving you? You see why he was serving you? You have put a wedge around him. Look at how he's prosperous. His prayer has been answered. So take all those things away, it will cost you. Okay. Don't touch his life, go do it. And the devil came and took all the wealth away in a single day, according to the story. And Job fell down and said, God took it away. God took it away. Blessed be the glory of the Lord. Some months passed. This thing was recorded as if it happened the second day. No. Months passed, maybe years passed. He said the sons of God came before God and Satan came among them also. He said, how come Satan was allowed? Because God allowed it. He said, do you see my servant Job? You see, you took all of these things away, he's still faithful. So skin for skin is what Job said, what Satan said. Let's read this so that we say the way he was saying it. Say, every man will give anything their life for their life. Touch his skin, touch his life, touch his body. He will curse you. And God said, okay, go do it. But don't kill his life, save his life. And what was the next thing? The devil came with what, you don't know, the disease, maybe it's boil or smallpox. From head to toe, it was full of boil. And the devil had to go through his wife and say, well, are you still keeping your integrity? Curse God and die. That is what God wanted to, what the devil wanted to get out. Curse God and die. And that is where I'm bringing us to know that the challenge of this trial of your faith is not to kill the person. It's not to make you lose these things. It's to see whether you are going to deny Christ. In the face of all these troubles, whether you are going to curse God, that is the target of the devil. If he can make them curse God, they sweep them into hell. Who wants to go to hell with the devil? Not me. So that is where we're going to make our decision. I have decided to follow Jesus. Sing it. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Amen. We will sing that song again some other time. Give me Job chapter 13, verse 15. I was describing the story of Job after he was smitten with disease and the devil couldn't make him to curse God. The devil had to give him the message through his wife and say, well, we are suffering enough. Curse God and die. And Job passed the test again. He said, no. Can we receive good from the Lord and not receive evil? The Bible says, in all these things, Job did not hear with his mouth. Job chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 15, please. And this is the final thing that Job said in his confession of standing with God. Say, though he slay me, because you know what happened to Job when he was sick, This thing was written, summarized for us there. You don't know how long that took, that sickness. See, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. See, but I will maintain my own ways before him. And that was what the Lord Jesus Christ went through. He saw the glory that was before him also. But he has to pass this cross, this single day or 3 days in the grave, the ridicule, the bleeding. He was to bleed to death. That will make somebody fear. Anybody will like, you just shoot him and no, he's dead. But see, the pain for bleeding to death is worse than that. It's worse than that. And he saw it coming and he said, all things are proper to the Father. Look at what the Bible said in the book of Hebrew, chapter 5. Hebrew chapter 5, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Talking about Christ, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, that's in the day in the Garden of Gethsemane, with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. So you see, he was praying and crying and that, God, can we do anything, something else than this? But the Bible said, with crying, so that was an agony in the garden that the Lord himself went through. And he said, everyone that is going to pass, the apostle said, through much tribulation shall we enter into the kingdom. Keep that in your mind. Through much tribulation shall we enter into the kingdom. And like the scripture always gave us some encouragement. Many of the trials that we are talking about, they are things that are common to men. God is not going to invent something new, or the devil is not going to invent something new. Things that are common to men, let me give some examples. There could be a trial. Suppose you, as a believer in Christ, and you are in a place of employment, and you are doing your job faithfully, there you pray and you trust God, and they are laying people off on the right and laying people on the left, and your promises for yourself is that 1,000 shall fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but shall not come near me. And the Lord has been blessing you with that promise, and they never lay you off. You have been promoted. When men are cast down, I will be saying there is lifting up, and you are enjoying those blessings of the Lord. And they are being laid off, you are being promoted. God will continue to do that until you are to be tried. Remember that. God will answer all those problems, but when he's about to try his saints, then he delayed the prayer, the answer to prayer. That is how he does it. Or maybe many years you have been praying for yourself, any sickness, you just pray for yourself, pray for your children, and they were healed. You're trusting the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your prayer is working for you. But when you are going to be tested, that is a trial of faith, then God delayed the prayer, the answer. See how you respond. That is what happened to Job also. God will allow that when it's time for trial. And it's not going to be every time. It's like a classroom training. You are in the grade schools, and there will be a time for tests before you can be promoted to the next school or to the next grade. That is what we are talking about. And God is going to allow it at the same time. Like I said, see what he said. The devil will be allowed to persecute us. It's already started. I don't think we are talking of something I see coming in the future. It started, we are hearing, if you don't know, there's a magazine we call The Voice of the Martyrs that I subscribe to when they are here in the US, but they are covering the persecution that is going on in the Middle East, Indonesia, people in China, or North Korea, even Nigeria. They are covering those, telling us what is happening when the Boko Haram was burning churches. Those are part of it. When ISIS was cutting the head of those who believe in Christ with a machete, beheading, that we were hearing about those things like a fairy tale in those days, but it came back in our generation. And it's coming to the Western world. That's what I'm trying to preach. That's what I'm pointing out. Because we are seeing it's rising from the East. It's coming to the West. This persecution, it has risen from the East, and it's coming to the West, because we are in the West. Even this Western world. And the stage is already set. We are Genesis chapter 3 that we read, I said, he will bruise the heel. The Lord will permit Satan to bruise the heel of the church, which is the body of Christ, which is the Messiah. Christ has already done his part. It is for us to stand. He mentioned it in Revelation chapter 13, which we all know is talking about the Antichrist. That is when it comes to the West. Revelation chapter 13, verse 7. Put that one up, please. And it was given unto him, the beast, as it was supposed to be in that chapter, it was given unto that beast. The beast is representing the kingdoms of this world, the world government. There will be a ruler over there called the Antichrist, which everybody wants to see. The Antichrist is coming, he's going to be the ruler of the world. That is the beast. But it's their kingdom, the governments of the world that go from Europe to Americas, because they are almost ruling the world, also the European Empire. It was given unto him to make war with who? The saints, believers, everywhere in their own territory, and to overcome them. That is what Daniel saw that made Daniel sad. He said to overcome them, it's almost like he was just doing things that nobody, like these saints have no God to deliver them. He said, and to overcome them. And power was given them over all kingdoms and tongues. That is coming to the Western world. It has already started in the East. That's why you are hearing the Fulani men, the Boko Haram, in ISIS, in the East, ISIS in West Africa, and they will return what they call the guillotine. In the many years ago in Europe, in England, they said the king cut off from the head of some people that I don't go with them. That is coming also in the days, in the 70s, 1980s, they have a movie about the mark of the beast, those who miss the rapture, that may suddenly find themselves before the beast where they are being beheaded, arrested, and so on. That may be the type of thing that will occur. It will occur, whether we like it or not, it's coming. The stage started said because there was a book called that was written by Eusebius in the early century, in the 300 AD, when he described what happened to them. It happened to them when they were still under the Caesars, the Roman Empire, where there were two emperors fighting for the politics of Rome to become the Caesar, and the church, that is the church in that generation, which means the believers. They were vocally lined up with one emperor. They were vocally lined up with one emperor that this is the one they want him to become the Caesar. And you know what happened in politics? Their emperor lost and was killed. And this one that they didn't support became the emperor. And it was in the book of Eusebius, it was history book. And he said, this church, so he wrote some persecution against the church. That has been the stage itself for America, the same way. You can remember many, the last two elections, where they were these evangelicals, the fundamental, the line of one political party. They set the stage, and then if their political party didn't win, the other person can easily raise up. That was what happened in Rome in that generation when the man wrote it. He said when the man started, he started by first persecuting in the military. And see, the church was hearing that this man is doing something in the military, and they didn't take it. Before you know it, he just extended to all the people that didn't support him in the military, started wiping them out. Then he faced the church, started persecuting the church. The stage is set in this Western world also, similar things. But God is saying it is actually given to the Antichrist to do that. Who gave it? God. Why? You read it in Genesis chapter 3. That the seed of the woman will bruise thy head, that's what Christ came, he has done that. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. So the devil is not eliminated, he's still around, that his power is being taken over by Christ. But then this power where he will be allowed to bruise the heel is being fulfilled from the time of the apostles. That was why God allowed them to kill many of the apostles, many of the Christians in Rome. And it's not over yet, because the Roman Empire simply splintered into pieces, and they are the European community, including America, that is from there. You know, American government following democracy. So it's going to be the same thing. At the end of the world is coming to happen. So you have to know this and then decide whose side are you going to be. So the purpose of this message is to make sure to know that, make you know that, hey, whose side are you on? I'm going to have to follow Jesus Christ. And like I was saying, the devil, when he's trying, this is the one we talk about, the Antichrist, may be the one that will be physical. I mean, physical means they will see persecution in the form of you cannot buy or sell unless you take the mark of the beast. That was what was reported in the book of Revelation, how it's going to be implemented. But suppose they can't do that, people will begin to do many other things. And then the governments of the world, not just America, the governments of the world, they are mandating things. Right now, you know about these mandating things. Where in the days of the mark of the beast, they don't need to mandate it. That's the only way of doing business. The sheep under the skin, or what they call it, the mark. That would be the only way of doing business. So they don't need to mandate it. You just don't have any currency anymore. You have money in the bank. That's the only way to collect it, to go from bank to bank, from grocery stores to the bank. So if you don't have the mark, you are on your own. And some people say, well, let's just do trade by barter. Then they will begin to clamp down on that also. I mean, the government of the world. Until it's becoming unbearable. It's coming, folks. Or they will begin to arrest people like this. You know? Right now, they say, if you don't get this mandatory thing, you are out of job. That's already happened. It's happening right now. That's why people are still protesting. In Nigeria, they say, the governor said, people, you can't go to your place of work, you can't go to the bank, you can't go to church unless you show that you have been mandated. And brethren are writing and say, what are you going to do? Is this the mark of the beast? I say, that's not the mark yet. They say, preliminary stages to this mark. We were hearing about things like this, you call, when we were in the 1970s. We were thinking rapture will have taken place. It may not be yet. But this thing, even Brother Frisby preached something, he said that many of the people will still see the mark, the Antichrist coming up before the Lord suddenly comes. See? But we are seeing the stage, it says. We are seeing everything is staged and everything is ready. But are you ready? That's why the Lord told me to start this prayer in tongues. To get us ready, we better be praying, Lord, thy kingdom come. How can his kingdom come? We be ready. Come and walk on us, saints of the Most High God. Come and walk on us so that we are ready. How can his kingdom come? And when the saints that is coming to take are not ready, are not prepared, are not at the level he wants us to be. He is coming for a church that is without spot, without wrinkle, and blameless. That is why he said, start this prayer in prayer meeting 24/7, pray in tongues, praying that thy kingdom come. The whole body of Christ be praying thy kingdom come so that he can walk this walk in us and get us to where we ought to be, so that he can come and take us away. So remember that. Pray in tongues. Pray in the spirit. Thy kingdom come, Lord. Because we got to get to the level that he said, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Are we there yet? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, 12, 13. Said, until we all. Are we all going to get there? He said, we all. Come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is why he put the ministries in the body of Christ. But I'm saying we are seeing the world stage being set for what is coming. The world stage is set for what is coming. And we are seeing it being implemented in Africa, in Europe, in America, and this place where it looks like they can still resist the mandate, they will resist this and resist that. They will do that for a while. I was telling somebody, I said there will be a time when they will send the sheriffs, the police begin to implement this mark of the beast. Some state government, just like you see right now, maybe this state government say, well, we are not going to do this. They will do it until that government is changed. And how often do they change the government? Sometimes in the place it's two years, sometimes four years. And then suddenly the people that are more, they get rid of the governor that does not want to implement this thing and get their own money. That is how it's going to happen. That is how it's going to happen. Maybe Arizona is still saying, well, we are Republican states. We are not going to follow this that the federalists compelling us to implement. And then some people will raise up, get rid of these Republican senators after two years. And then that's why it's in the middle of the 7 years, he broke. He will be able to sweep everybody under himself. That is coming. That is coming, folks. That's just by the way, to make us to see that the only hope is to keep your eye on Jesus. We are going home. Keep your eye on Jesus. We are going home. But are you ready for the Lord to come? Are you ready? And for us to be ready, we need to look at ourselves, look at the hope that is set before us. Romans chapter 8, let me wrap it up. This message is not to make you afraid. I mentioned that the Antichrist is coming, but that is for the physical. The plan of the devil is to make you try to make you doubt God, deny God, because when they cannot buy a food, some of them will go for their belly. And they will see it plainly in the Bible. The Bible said, Revelation chapter 14, anybody that take the mark of the beast, we go to that, we get the wrath of God. That's Revelation chapter 14, from verse 10, 9, 10, 11. So, if anybody take the mark, that means deny the Bible. Because only those who believe the Bible will refuse to take that mark or the sheep under the skin that the Bible was saying is the end thing. But if they don't believe the Bible, to them this is just a fairy tale book. But if you believe the Bible and you see in the Bible that nobody should take the mark, if you take the mark, that means you deny Christ, you deny the Bible. But the devil can also use many other ways, like he did for Job, bring some trouble. You have been praying prayer all time, but now it comes the time you are praying and you are praying and praying and prayer doesn't seem to work. They will say, now, are you still loving your Jesus? Are you still loving your Jesus? Let me give you my testimony. That happened just some few weeks ago, almost within the last month. So that you can see when I say the devil is not just trying to kill people or trying to make them lose their property. He wants them to deny Christ, so that he can sweep them to hell. That is the real elimination that he wants. But are you going to deny Christ for whatever it is, for food, if it is mark of the beast, or for this, you prayed and look like your prayer has not been heard, you are sick, you prayed and look like God is not answering, are you going to deny Christ? I was brought to this situation physically and medically, to the point I was groaning in pain. I'm talking of something that sent me to the emergency room. I'm talking of last month, not 2 years ago. And at the peak, and this is something I've been praying against, praying, casting the devil out, using the name of Jesus and commanding the devil and crying unto my Lord. And it looked like heaven was brass. That's why I said, when God is going to try you, it will, the prayer that you always enjoy, before you answer, before you pray, he has brought it. Before anything happens, you have your answer. But when he wants to try you, we throw the answer and see whether you are going to curse God. In the peak of the pain, I say I was in the emergency room. And I said, is this an emergency room for heaven's sake? Where the nurses were too busy. I was there for 30 minutes waiting for the nurse. In the room now, they have already shaken me in. And I was in this serious pain. So you know it's not, I'm not talking of COVID, it's something of pain in the body. Then the devil came. That's what he wanted to get. Into that room, I didn't see any person, I just heard him spoke to me. Because he knew I've been praying, not just today, for days, for that thing to go away. Then that was the biggest escalation of the pain in the emergency room. And the voice that says, do you still love this your Jesus? That was the voice. My spirit just said, yes, I still love him. And this devil can't walk away. I'm talking of something in the spirit that just walked away in shame. Yes. That night, after the nurse finally came and gave me a relief and came back home, that night, the angel said, you graduated. Told me that I graduated. So which means, when I heard that, I started shedding tears. That was a test, an exam in the classroom. If you fail, it will have to be repeated. It's like you go to school, you fail this test, what do? You repeat the class. Your parents will make you repeat the class. Well, the angel said, you graduated. And then what made me cry? I remember my Lord Jesus Christ too. That said in Hebrews chapter 5, let's read that. That he said, with crying with tears unto him that could save him, and it looked like no one is answering. And he has to go through shedding his blood, shed his blood until he died on the cross. That was what he himself had to go through to enter that glory. And God said, every believer, you have to go through something to enter this glory I'm talking about. The end of it will be those who face the Antichrist mark. I'm just using that as so you know what is coming. But every believer will go through something because he has said, oh, that you're going to follow me, carry your cross. and follow me. But why are we going to go through all of this? Let's look at the glory we are looking at. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Look at what Apostle Paul said. For I reckon, if you know the life history of Apostle Paul, he said he was beaten with rods, he was stoned to death, and they thought he was dead. That's why they stoned him and thought he was dead, and that's why they left. And the brethren came around and he woke up. This is the type of suffering and tribulation he went through. And he said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Amen.
Keep that on the front of your face for whatever you are going to go through in this end time. I'm telling you right now, this message is not just for this church. Remember, I have messages. My messages are now being broadcast on TV. So this will go on TV, and it's on website, and it's actually I've got to call channels are now TV channels where my videos are now going to be seen worldwide. The Lord said, put this out there also. This is for the body of believers. It's coming. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, no matter what the suffering is, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Romans chapter 8. Oh, let's go to 1 Corinthians. I've read that already. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13, where it says it's a common thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13. See what Apostle Paul also said. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. I talk of pain. Am I the only one that have suffered pain? There are myriads of people that don't even believe God and they suffer pain too. You know, so they go to the hospital and they have their legs raised up. Some are going through serious type of diseases. But not for believers, no, so. Because we are under a covenant of blessings and promises. I said that will be continued until he wants to test your faith. But you have to recognize that no matter what's happening, like he tested the faith of the apostles when they were now being arrested in Rome and they were being fed to the lions in the arena. And you know they will be praying. Our God of him, God of Daniel, that stopped the mouth of lions. He won't allow the lions to eat. And the Lord allowed the lions, and they were being torn into pieces by the lions. Some were being born into. But when God wanted to show his signs, he made John, Apostle John, said they won't kill this one. That was his choice, election. As he desired. So no, they won't kill this one. They maybe kill. He allowed all the others to suffer and lay their life for him. And they tried to kill Apostle John. The Bible story tells us that they couldn't. They did everything. They just decided, let's get rid of this one. Let's exile him to what Isle of Patmos. Because God wanted him to see, to get the revelation. This book of Revelation was written by Apostle John. After they tried to kill him and they couldn't kill him, they exiled him to the Isle of Patmos. And then God visited him there and gave him this book of Revelation. Because it was when God decided that they won't kill this one, it is for a sign to show that he is still God of miracles. He's still alive. He may allow the rest to go through all of this, but he will choose one just to show his signs and wonders. So that's why you are hearing stories in Nigeria. I was reading the book Voice of Matters, where people were being killed and a pastor's house was burned down. They killed the pastor. His wife escaped. See, in Nigeria, I'm not talking of something that happened in the year 1900. This is thing I read that is in the magazine in the 2005, 2007. And it's not over yet, and it's happening. In Indonesia, stories of a village being attacked because the village is full of Christians. And the Islamist jihadists came down and attacked the village and killed many people. A woman that escaped, the capture. And these are stories, and so we are here. It's already started, but that's why I say it's coming from the east. And it's coming towards the west. That's why it's now in Africa. It's coming towards this west. And the stage is set. When it's going to come to the physical, it's going to be the mark of the beast that is going to bring it. But the devil is unleashed to man upon the church of the living God. But bracing yourself, am I going to stand for Jesus? Because the glory that we are going to enter, that he said, the too much tribulation we shall enter that glory, is great. That glory is great. Let's look at another thing that the Bible said in the book of Revelation chapter 21. What is this glory that you are going to die for? You are going to lay our life down for. Look at what the Bible said. If you If you want that glory, you know we are not only to believe on him, but to suffer for his sake. Verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And Apostle John said, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And you can go on and read where he talks about the streets of gold in this New Jerusalem. Everything that we have admired, we have heard about the streets of gold, not to talk about the glory that will be emanating from you when you get to that glory. You see the Lord Jesus Christ now, when he appeared as a ball of light before Apostle Paul, that was when he entered his glory. That is what he is preparing for every believer, that we overcome, that you will, he said, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall also be able to glow like light, this light. Glow and then appear and disappear. That is what he's preparing for us. You have to pass through this test. Whatever the own test, it is not all everybody that will face the mark of the beast. But we are at the end time, look like that, it's becoming closer and closer. Some will go through the type of thing that I just mentioned, where you prayed and prayed, look like God that always answered my prayer, where are you? This is getting too long. This pain is getting so much. Where are you, God? And they will say, huh? Do you still love this Jesus? Do you still love this Jesus? I refuse to answer your prayer. Say, will you only love him because he's answering your prayers? So that is where you're going to have to decide. And I'm going to stand. That's what Job said. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Amen? That's what Job said. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But don't ever curse God. Don't ever say you deny Christ. No matter, not for food, not for you. Because you know that even if you die, you are going to be resurrected some years later with the saints to go and meet him in the sky. So how can somebody, because of few years on earth, you're going to miss eternity? Eternity in bliss. Eternity in bliss, not that way. That's, I remember many times, many years ago, somebody was telling me that, well, nobody knows. I said, we know, the Bible said it. He said, nobody knows how that other side will be. He said, we know, the Bible said, we believe what the Bible said. We believe the New Jerusalem is there. It's already built. In fact, God has been showing it to people and bringing them back to tell us. Apostle John that saw it and wrote it down, this thing is true. Yes. But don't miss that glory because of a little suffering. That's why Apostle Paul said, the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 again. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Apostle Paul says it in another way. He called it our light affliction. Light. For our light affliction, that is everything he went through when they stole him to almost think he was dead. And he finally died in Rome when they killed him, when they arrested all the Christians. He said, they are light affliction. Which is but for a moment. He said, for a moment. Maybe after a few years, is dead, but you're going to resurrect. It worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Praise the Lord. For every affliction we may have on this earth, is it through prayer that is not answered, or the mark of this beast that is coming, and people have to choose whether they're going to starve God or going to starve their belly. He said, they are light affliction compared to the glory that has been revealed in us. He said, this light affliction that we endure is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And the next verse says, why we look not at the things that are seen, what you are seeing in the world, verse 18. He said, but you are looking at the things which are not seen. So why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen? For the things which are seen are temporal. That is everything you are talking about. They are temporary things. How many years can you live on this planet Earth? Even if the Lord has not come yet, how many years can you live? Maybe you live until you are 120. The best man on earth right now. But 120 years is small compared to eternity. So that's why I say these are temporal things, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So this New Jerusalem, we are talking about the kingdom of God that is coming, the glory that is going to show to us, they are eternal, they are forever. So which side are you going to choose? I have decided to follow Jesus. If you have decided that, same with me, stand up on your feet. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. If you have made that decision yourself, it is you and the Lord. Like he said, carry your cross and follow me. Say, I have decided to follow him. No matter what's going to happen to me or to the world, I am ready. Lord, give me the grace to stand. Like I said, he said, that's when I said, yes, I still love him. It's not from the flesh, it's from the spirit. That's the grace you have to ask for. Lord, give me that grace that no matter when the pressure comes, it is you that took over. It is Jesus in us. Christ in us is the hope of our glory. Remember that. That is Christ in us that is going to make us not to curse God, not to deny Christ, ready to lay down our life for his sake. It is Christ in us. But you must surrender to Christ in you and say, Lord, take me over. So that's what we're going to pray for. And you that are watching online, pray that, Lord, take me over. No matter what I have to face, take me over so that I will never deny Christ. I will stand the test of time and I will follow you to the end. Father, I pray for everyone that are hearing in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that you will touch us and give us the grace to stand the test of time, to never deny Christ, to never curse God, so that we can graduate from this class to the next class to the next class until you come and take us in the rapture. Because he said the glory that is going to be revealed in us is worth all these sufferings. He said it is appointed to not just to believe on him, but to suffer for his sake, for his name's sake. So Father, we are praying, Lord God, that you give us that grace to stand that test, no matter what the test will be for any individual of us. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now the praise team can come back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Because before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. God bless you. Take the word.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah.